We have the insert about saints in your bulletin. Definition of saints varies widely, and for me, those who have passed are saints who are among us that resteth in the arms of the Lord, and we give thanks for them. But there are also saints among us, and we need to be aware of that. Are you aware of some of the saints among us, some of the saints that maybe you've known that have passed, or some that are still here, who have modeled Christian discipleship, who have taught you how to live as Christ teaches us how to live? Perhaps a relative or a teacher, a parent, a coach, perhaps someone quite old, or intriguingly, sometimes someone quite young. Is that what Jesus meant when he said, "Let the children come unto me, for to them belongs the kingdom of heaven"? Can a young child teach an old dog to do new tricks? I have to confess, being an old dog one day, Melissa and Sarah were little girls. They were both in car seats, and we were driving Patterson Road. Nicole, Patterson, coming over the top of Manny Heights. You come across this hill, and then it drops down on that side. And as we were driving along, my mind was on a million things. We had to go do this. We had to take care of that. We have this agenda. We have that agenda. And all of a sudden, the girls were going, "Ooh, ah, oh, ooh." And I looked at them, and they were both looking forward the same direction I had been when we were driving, but they were oohing and awing, and I had no idea what was going on. And I looked at them again, and I looked out the front window, and there were no cars or trouble in the road, I thought. And then it's the Grand Mesa was in front of us, and a full moon had just risen above it. Huge, beautiful moon. Two little girls taught their daddy about pausing and looking around and seeing the awesome beauty of nature. You know where I'm talking about, that stretch of road, don't you? It's a beautiful stretch. And when you happen to come across, and the first snow comes and sets upon Grand Mesa, and the neck of the Swan is full, that's a beautiful drive. And I was so busy in the car, driving the car, that I forgot to be in God's creation. So the old dog learned a trick or two that morning. It's kind of a fun thing. I want to tell you about an odd saint that I met when I first went to work in Johnstown, Colorado. I wasn't very old, I don't think. It didn't feel like it at any rate, but it sure made me feel younger when, right after the sermon, this woman came up, and her name is Harriet. And Harriet came up and says, "Well, I always thought that when the scripture," and boy, she was really full of things. You know, normally when you're greeting people after the sermon, it's, "Nice sermon, Pastor. Thank you, sermon." I actually had one kind little lady said, "Well, that was interesting." I heard her. But Harriet, there was no holes barred. Harriet was outspoken. She told you what she thought, what she felt, and she wasn't politically correct always. She was a rascal. She was abrupt and confrontational, cocky, but never hurtful, never spiteful. She was honest, sometimes painfully. So Harriet, when I first got to know her, I thought, "Oh, she's going to be a real problem. I hope we don't run into her often." She was one of the saints, the volunteers of the church. She would come for everything that was going on and help with everything that was going on. And she was just a firebrand. She was no spring chicken by any stretch, but she was always busy going and whatever. One morning, I went home for lunch, fed the kiddos, came back, and was walking in. I heard a strange sound in the church. I thought, "What the heck?" And I'm attuned to things like that in case the furnace is misbehaving or whatever. But I listened, and there was a pause, and then it repeated itself. I'm not going to do it again. But I peeked my head into one of the rooms, and there were a couple of old pews that we had in there for seating. Harriet stretched out on her back, sleeping, snoring like a bear in its den. Boy, she was just really going. I just chuckled, and I thought, I got to get a camera and take a picture and embarrass her. This was the day before smartphones, when you had to actually work at being able to get something to take a picture. Now, you can take a picture before you think about taking a picture. You know what I mean? And I thought about it, and then I thought, well, I don't really want to embarrass her, but it kind of tickled me that here she was right in the middle of all the stuff she was doing, and she was just snoozing. And she was out. Later on, I walked around, and she was back busy going on about her stuff and all of that. And now, as I am more mature, the years have given me enough wisdom to understand that that little nap right after lunch can be a real rejuvenator. That can refuel you. And that's what happened with Harriet. She would refuel and fill back up, and she would be going great guns again. Didn't ever know that she had a serious heart problem. Didn't ever know that she would pass almost unexpectedly. She was a hard worker, and she was a good Christian, and she was an honest Christian, and she was one of the saints that taught me an awful lot about stuff. Harriet's been gone for a while, but she's one of the saints in my bibliography, and I give her thanks. On the screen, Pia put up the picture that I found. I should have cited where that painting was from. Did I cite it, Pia? It's on your bulletin as well. Do I have it cited? I'm not sure if I did or not. Let's look. I did not. Naughty me. You can all shake your hands and tisk at me. Oh, it's in the bottom of the picture, isn't it? Wait. Ah, yes. The Siesta, Jose Maloa, Museum Nacional de Belsas Artes de Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I want to acknowledge. I saw this on the internet. I thought, isn't that wonderful? And then when I read the name, I thought, isn't that the Siesta? Look at him. He's a hard-working fella. He's a hard worker. You can tell. Look at those boots. He's unlaced them for a moment to just give himself a bit of a break, to pause and maybe refuel and regenerate. Is there a good time in our lives to just slow down and sit back and take it easy? Stop working at what all the things we've been working at all our lives? Is there a time when we can just sit back in leisure? The gospel lesson this morning is kind of an interesting answer to that question. Here you are, the master of the house, and in the parable, of course, the master of the house is God, yes? And who amongst you wouldn't want to, when your servants, slaves, you know who those are, that's us, when we've been out working hard, would you pause and say, here, come, sit down at the table, let me serve you? God is reminding us, no, God has blessed us with the ability, the gifts and graces, and called us to do the works of the Lord. And it is when we have done those works, the best we can say is, we are worthless servants. We have done only what we ought to have done. Give some thought to that. We are privileged to be in God's employ. Think about that. As I see the news and I see people doing horrendous things or irresponsible things or lost, I realize that they have not found that they can also be gainfully employed by the Lord. That they can turn themselves to that and find purpose, find meaning, find center, and find wholeness. As we are about being grateful for this and about being grateful of that, I also am contemplating this interesting phase in my life. I'm retired, have you heard? That's a joke, you can laugh. But here I am retired. I got a call the other day from a fellow seminary student, Reverend Kay Marsh. She was in Westminster for many years, but she retired now. Called me at work, believe it or not, and said, how you doing? We chatted for a little bit, caught up on the news. She says, reason I'm calling, she says, there's a group of retired clergy. We have a group of us that work together. And I laughed a little bit. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, you're retired, but you're working. And she laughed and she said, that's right. Retirement doesn't mean sitting on our behindies and doing the siesta day in and day out. As we age, yes, we might need to pause and refuel and refresh. But here we are, this group of retired clergy doing important things. I had to give some thought to that, and I've been noticing for the last handful of years the annual conference gatherings. Most of you have not experienced annual conference as much, Shelley being one of the exceptions, Melba as well. But as we go to annual conference, it was tradition to run into some of the people that were the saints of the conference. Ron Hodges, Keith Merriman, I can name a handful of them, Harvey Martz. And all of those were the leaders, the ones that Sharon McCormick, a whole handful of these that were there as the stones, the base of the conference. And I began to realize over the last handful of conferences that they weren't there in the same ways. Some have gone on to their eternal reward. They are saints among us. Keith Merriman, bless his heart. Some of them others, they have stopped their conference jobs, and they still attend in different ways, but they are now active in different ways, and the conference continues. And I realize now that there's a piece that I have to step up and fill some of the shoes of those who have retired. Those elders that led me have now passed, and I become one of the elders. This last conference, the bishop at some point in our gathering always asks, who has been to annual conference 50 years? And we applaud them. 45 years. 40. I got in there at 30-some years I've been going to annual conference. I actually have to admit I was startled to realize that I had been doing that many years. An interesting phenomenon, but it reminds me of something that we need to think about. As Harvey Martz, Keith Merriman, Paul Murphy, Paula Murphy's, all of these were those saints that showed us how to be, those models of how to be in Christian discipleship, that some of us elders now have to take up that role. And it reminded me in my personal life, who do you suppose looks at me? And of course, I want to turn this and point it out. Who looks at you as a model for Christian discipleship? Who are those for whom you model Christ? Consider that. Consider what an important role it is, how vital it is for society, and consider who you are and how you are and whose you are. The saints who have gone before us have accomplished much. I don't want everyone to overlook that. Look at this building. Built this beautiful facility that we inherit. They have helped build a society where it is the law to take care of people, of children, of orphans and widows. We have built a society where there are medical care for all people and for where equality is built into our Constitution. So the saints before us have done great works. Now we can all look around and say there's much to do because there is. And sometimes we feel that, and sometimes we feel like this is just the end of days. Things are in such turmoil. Things are in such upset. Things are in such division that this must be the worst of times. It is not. These times are just new struggles that we could never have dealt with before. But now we are at a place in our development as human beings before God where we can stand up and we can begin to lead in the way that God teaches us as saints. Yes, we feel overwhelmed at times, but we know God is there with us. God calls us, God purifies us, God sends us, and we respond Here am I. Amen?